Welcome along. It's Alan Brazil up front.
It's the Porkmeister. Yes!
He is losing the plot.
No, I'm not losing the plot.
Alan Brazil up front.
Exclusively on Audio Boom.
Can City do it? City, if they turn up.
City are going to get
it. If they turn up, you numpty.
Hang on.
What are you talking about? Welcome, Alan Brazil up front with Mike Parry on Audio Boom. We're talking Champions League, and I do get excited, Mike. I really do.
Well, Al, it's great, isn't it, to see the dawn of a new season. And I tell you what, there's always a curtain raiser, isn't it, to the Champions League? Because, I mean, for myself, being an Everton fan, I remember the only season we ever got close was 2004. And what happened was we came into fourth position. No.
So no. When was the ban?
Are you mad? Are you crazy? 2004. And what happens is, of course, you think you're fourth. You think you're in the Champions League, but you're not. You got the qualifier. And that was the famous one. That was the famous one where we played Villarreal, okay? And Villarreal, we drew with them at Goodison. We went back to Villarreal. And Duncan Ferguson scored a fantastic headed goal, which is a winner. Except that a man who I forever now call Dough Ball Head, who was supposed to be the world's most famous referee, you know the guy I'm talking
Colina.
About. Colina. Thank you. Yeah, Pierluigi Colina ruled out the goal and we went out of the competition. So it can be a heartbreaker, and those heartbreakers are what now, in the second leg of these games, yeah. United and Celtic have got to get over.
Well, we're going to look at the big clubs. Manchester United, of course, it could have been easier. They got Bruges. Celtic are the worst of the lot of the group. Mm. They got Malmo.
Yeah.
So, look, if Celtic get through, we mustn't forget when Neil Lennon was in charge, they beat Barcelona at Parkhead.
They certainly did.
But Celtic are not as good. They're not as good now. There's no doubt about
it.
And United, you know, Manchester United fans still feel United could go all the way and make a final. Can they?
Oh, no. I mean, look, you know, you can't call that silly because Manchester United historically, and certainly when Sir Alex Ferguson was in charge, were a power in Europe so good that people sort of got frightened before you even got on the pitch. But that won't happen again, Al. I mean, look,
is there any outsiders here? Because for me, it's between Real, Barcelona, Bayern Munich, and of all our clubs, I still think Chelsea.
Mm.
I'd love to say Man City, but they've got to learn now. This is a big season for City.
Well, Manchester,
they've got to progress.
Manchester City, under three successive managers, including the one now, Mr. Pellegrini, have not been able to crack Europe. And I think that's probably because they have to concentrate so, you know, dynamically and so intrinsically on the domestic competitions that they've got to win before they can take on Europe.
Sort of Chelsea, sort of United, sort of Arsenal.
No. I mean, what I'm saying is, Al, that Mr. Pellegrini, for all his strengths, came from a club which, you know, Malaga, which had no chance whatsoever of ever competing in Europe at the highest level, whereas, of course, Jose has already won the Champions League twice with two separate clubs and competed very, very strongly with the third, with Real Madrid. And he's so experienced and knows so how to handle these competitions.
Yeah.
He is literally the 12th man on the field.
So what about a man similar to yourself in build and stature?
Yes.
Rafa. What can he do with Real Madrid?
Well, I think it's a little bit unfair sometimes that Rafa, who's a former Liverpool manager, of course, is called the fat Spanish waiter. Because, you know, I do think that he should be given the respect that he deserves.
Oh, he's a good manager.
Yeah, well, look, he's a very good manager. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been taken on Monday by a club like Real Madrid. But I think what you have to say, by the way, how big do you think Ronaldo's ego has become when he was asked recently to comment on whether he had a view on who the next boss of FIFA should be and what he thought about FIFA's fair play regime, and he said, I don't care about either. I mean, yeah.
Well, Cristiano, you know, look, whatever you say about Ronaldo, he was magic at Manchester United. Magic.
Well, he's been pretty magic since.
And he's gone from United to be even better.
Yeah,
to be
right,
even
okay.
better.
Okay.
His goal record is just phenomenal.
Yes.
His level of performance, remarkable.
Yes.
So it's very difficult for him to keep his feet on the ground. It really is.
Well, no, it shouldn't be, Al.
But there is already hints that he does not get on with Benitez.
Right, Al, he's touching 30 now. That's not an age at which you've got tap dancing feet, that you're 22 years of age, that you see the world is your oyster.
But he has got tap dancing feet.
Well,
he trains with weights around his ankles.
Does he?
Yes, he does.
And did you ever do that, Al?
No.
Did you think you had enough body weight already?
I used to do a lot of weights. We did weights. pre-season, always in the weight room. But how his feet are so quick. I kid you not.
Okay, what's going to happen to him when he gets to 32 and he can't tap dance?
He'll probably tap dance down Monaco way.
Yeah, well, I think he probably would, or something like that.
Casino, counting his dough.
I think he'd. How much of a... You see, this is my point. Manchester United have got to rebuild their domestic reputation. They are not even a Premier League contender this year, are they?
Mike, there's too much to think about. No. You know, is Pedro going? Is De Gea staying?
Yeah, hang on.
You know, these are...
Yes.
I spoke to Peter Schmeichel.
Yes.
He said, if this man's head's not right and he wants to go, you have to let him go.
Of course you do.
You can't keep him. Let him go.
Of course you do. Of course you do. I mean, you know, at home, players like John Stones, if their head's with Chelsea, you let them go because they're not going to pull an Everton shirt with any great enthusiasm. What I'm saying is this. Don't you think that Manchester United, instead of, you know, having dreamy ideas about winning another Champions League, should really concentrate on rebuilding the team suitable enough to be able to win a Premier League title, really, before they start thinking about European glory again?
Well, Van Gaal has already said, I need a Galactico. He talks about Real.
Yep.
He talks about City, Aguero. He talks about Barca, Messi. I need a Galactico.
Yes, yes.
But at the moment, he's not got one.
By the way, when you saw Messi's performance the other night in that game, where, I mean, the last time I saw a man score two free kicks like that from opposite sides of the penalty area was, in fact...
Oh, he's a genius.
Yeah, was in fact, Kevin, you know, your old mate, the Irish winger from Everton, Kevin... You know what I'm talking about.
Oh,
you know
Sheedy.
Kevin Sheedy. Kevin Sheedy could score from either side of the area and did in a semi-final performance for Everton.
Oh, by the way, I've met him once. My old mate. I met him once. Well done, Porky.
Well, you know, I thought... all I'm saying is that boy had such a gifted left foot, he could carve meat with it.
Talking about left foot, said Silva, Man City.
Yep.
Beaten by Barcelona in the last 16.
Yep.
It'd be interesting. Sterling... I don't know about Delph, but Sterling, I thought his opening game for City, he did it simple. Mm. He didn't complicate. You know, he could be away from home. He could be a little gem, you know. He's not good in front of goal, but he does terrorise. He does terrify defence with his pace and his twisting and turning ability.
Is Manchester United squad big enough to cope with trying to research themselves in the Premier League and take on the Champions League?
Because goalkeeper-wise, question mark, I still think centre-back, question mark, and definitely centre-forward. Rooney gets injured, question mark.
Whereas when we get to the main competition, Manchester City's squad is easily big enough, isn't it,
yes,
to cope with the
Aguero,
Champions League?
Yes, Aguero, you know, Dzeko's gone now, hasn't he? Mm. Aguero's a great player. If he gets injured, then you're thinking, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And at the back, there's still a problem. Company, if he gets injured, there's still a problem there. Arsenal, what about Arsenal? I went to the Monaco game last year, who knocked them out.
Yeah.
It was incredible. Arsenal never turned up. Yeah. Monaco grew in confidence at the Emirates. I still thought Arsenal would go over there and beat them 3-0. It didn't happen. It should have happened.
Yeah.
It didn't. Arsene Wenger's Arsenal should easily have dispatched Monaco.
One thing we have to consider here is, Al, when you won your first European medal with...
UEFA Cup.
With Ipswich, the monetary reward for winning that was not substantial, but it was great for personal glory and all that. Now, you also played for a club, Bobby Robson, your manager, with a board who were actually a very nice bunch of gentlemen. Am I right in saying that, okay?
Very much so.
Thank you.
And it was Mr. Hillwood from Arsenal who got them involved in Ipswich.
And they were the...
Cobbold.
Cobbold. And they owned the local brewery.
I.e. Tolly Cobbold.
Tolly Cobbold.
But the Tolly Mash family,
yes,
the Cobbolds, you know, they were... Yes. I think Mum... Lady Blanche was a bit of blue blood.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I think she had a bit of blue blood.
That's very nice indeed. Mm. So what I'm saying is this. Bobby Robson, who manager, outstanding manager, obviously went on to be England manager, was not under massive pressure from the board to succeed in Europe. But these guys we're talking about, these clubs, are under massive pressure because of the huge financial rewards. Do you know that every stage further you get through the Champions League, you're into about another £7 or 8 million of bunts?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not bad. See, that's not bad. That could even pay Wayne Rooney for two-thirds of the season.
Well, see, Mike, this is the Champions League I love. Champions League, for me, is bigger than the European Championships. Mm. The World Cup's different. You know, if England were to go a long way in the World Cup, it'd be hysteria. But in saying that, Champions League, for me, is sensational, especially when you come out of the group stage. But I still, in my head, I've still got Chelsea. Jose's Chelsea is the team that could go further.
The problem with the group stage is that, which goes right up to Christmas, is that by November we might have some dead rubber games, OK? There's too many weak teams in the Champions League. We need to get back to the days when your team won it in 67, Celtic, when Manchester United won it in 68, where it starts as knockout from day one. Mm. It's a draw and it's knockout, and that's
the
way you go through
it. And the UEFA Cup that I won with Ipswich and Spurs in 84, it wasn't league. But then again, we're back to finance, aren't we?
Of course we are.
I would love it to be. Funny enough, just in that 81 Ipswich side, some of the players, we mentioned Stoichkov a while ago, but some of the teams we knocked out, Boniak, the Polish, you know, who went to Juventus, remember? Yes. Great player.
Yes.
So he played for Widzo Łódź from Poland.
Łódź, yeah.
You had Panenka, who played for Bohemians of Prague. We knocked them out.
Yes.
Then there was San Etienne. We had Rocheteau. Platini,
well,
Johnny Rep.
I was going to say, I
knocked them out. Then the semi final. Don't interrupt. We had Schumacher, the keeper, Rainer Bonhoff, Klaus Allofs, Tony Woodcock, Lipbarski. Mm. We knocked them out.
Yeah.
And then the Dutch side in the final, AZ Alkmaar, were a great side. The Johnny Metod, spell boss, the little boy up front, what was his name? He scored two against England at Wembley when the Dutch came to Wembley and beat England.
Yes.
So Peters, I think his name was. That was a high class, a high class competition. I think it's devalued a wee bit. Although you win the UEFA Cup now, you go in the Champions League next year.
That's right, absolutely. And you just mentioned the Dutch team that you won, you beat in the final, Al. And I don't know if you noticed this week, but talking about European football, Ajax have gone out of the qualifiers for the Europa League. And this has caused great, you know, grief in Holland because, of course, you know, Ajax are one of the most famous clubs in the world.
I think
they won the then European Cup in three successive seasons.
Yeah. When Stoichkov played, back to him. Barcelona.
Exactly.
But that side was, you know, Cruyff still had a big influence at and Ajax.
Yeah.
I remember watching Cruyff in the 70s when they ruled Europe.
That's right.
And they gave Celtic a lesson home and away. They were magnificent.
Yes, well Cruyff, Barcelona owed Cruyff so much because Barcelona were allegedly the biggest club in the world for so many years, nearly 100 years, before they won a European Cup. And they won that when Johan Cruyff was their manager. They won it at Wembley.
Yeah.
And that really triggered the transformation from them being a thinking, dreaming big club to being the club
they are
today.
It's all about money, Mike. It's all about money.
Of course it is.
And Champions League raises so much. Yeah. We love it. Of course we do. It really gets exciting in the knockout stages. But it's very difficult to see past Real Madrid, Bayern, or Barcelona. It really, really is.
How soon will the day come when, because at the moment, already, we have two leagues in our Premier League. We have the top four league, and there's no...
I'd say three. I think we've got the top three, and then we've got another three or four, and then we've got the bottom.
Do you know what I'd say, Al? I think we've got two, because we've got the top four, and then the rest don't blinking matter, right? That's what I think. And to say we've got a top four, then we've got a middle block, and then we've got a bottom six who are trying to avoid relegation. After the top four, it doesn't matter.
But the top four, you say, doesn't matter. Newcastle, Everton.
Oh, I'm an Evertonian.
Exactly. Tottenham.
Why
do you say it doesn't matter?
Because what I have to say is... The greatest joy in your life is to wake up on a day when you think you're a member of the top four. Now, many years ago, Everton were. The reason the Premier League was started was because the top five got together, and the top five in those days were Everton, Liverpool, Manchester United, Arsenal and Spurs. So it was great being one of the big five. We didn't keep up, and now the top four. And by the way, all this nonsense about, oh, you know, Tottenham could be knocking on the door of the top four. Maybe Everton could be knocking on the top four. Maybe Southampton. No, no, no. I know exactly the top four teams will be at the end of this season. It'll be the same top four as the end of last season, just might be a different order.
So let's go back to Chelsea.
So I was just going to, just for a sec, Al, I was just going to say, so how long will it be before that pattern is established in every European league and they just have a European league?
No, don't want to go there. No. Definitely not. The Celtic Rangers were talking about a breakaway with some of the Dutch clubs. No, we don't want that. So why is it, let me ask you, Mr. Parry, why is it that Chelsea under Jose are still probably our best chance to get to a European final? Because Arsenal seem to fall short. City, they've got to improve. United, you know, who else is there? We're back to Chelsea again.
No, I totally agree with you. And it's because of Jose. It's because, you see, I think the most interesting thing is either Jose has been given a cash squeeze message from Mr. Abramovich because he hasn't been active.
I find that hard to believe.
Well, hang on. Let's look at the facts. Either he's been given a cash squeeze message by Mr. Abramovich because he hasn't spent big during the summer.
Yeah, but they left fullback Baba from the German club Augsburg. And John Stones is still... Listen, the window hasn't shut yet. In my opinion, it should have slammed shut last Friday night.
Look, I totally agree.
But the rest of Europe doesn't start as early as we did, so it hasn't.
Yeah,
it wouldn't surprise me if Josie still brings one or two in.
Now, you see, I'll come to that in a second. But in my view, because we are the biggest league, the richest league, we bring in more revenues and we have more access to footballers, when we're ready to close the window, us in England... It should be closed, and the Continentals just have to put up with it.
Because they'll say, well, when was the last time you won?
Yeah.
You know, when was the last time you were the best team in Europe?
Yes.
Spain dominate, and Bayern are such a massive club.
Not one club yet in the history of the Champions League has won a back-to-back title.
Retained it, I know that.
So it pings around. But as a former newspaper man, can I just tell you this?
Now you're worrying me.
Can I tell you this? I remember the famous Times headline, and it said, and this was in the 1950s, dense fog in the channel, continent cut off. Now, that's the way I think. You know, I'm not being old-fashioned, but that's
What's
the way...
What's that got to do with Champions League?
Because I'm saying that we should shut the window when we're ready to shut the window, because we are the dominant force in European league football, OK? We're not dominant force...
Do you want me to start getting involved in UEFA and FIFA?
No.
Don't be silly.
No. I'm not being silly.
You're being very silly.
I'm not being silly. What I'm saying
is... Roberto Martinez, your manager, said the window should be shut, but I understand, I know. It can't be because of the rest of Europe.
Well, I'm sorry. I think Roberto should change his mind. And I think he should say it should be shut. The moment the first league in Europe is ready to kick off, then the window has to shut then. It mustn't be left open until the last club in Europe is ready kick off. That's a most unfair advantage.
Are you worried about losing a couple of players? Bartley? Stones?
No. I'm not worried about losing any players at all. When you pull on an Everton shirt, a magnificence comes over you, I'm told, by professional footballers, and you don't have a problem with it, you see. You know? You wouldn't know about that, of course, because, you know, your loyalty to Ipswich dissipated pretty soon, didn't it? After
8 years.
And you decided
At Ipswich, if we were playing by the rules now, I think I would have played 5 or 6 Champions League years.
Yes. 5 or 6 Champions League. Absolutely right. But you decided to push off to Tottenham, didn't you? Because you thought the grass was greener.
No. The cobbles had lost track. You mentioned the cobbles earlier. Yeah. I think the Shabley got to the heads a wee bit.
got to their heads.
Yes, got to their heads.
Something you've avoided
ever
since,
obviously.
We
ran out of money. Bobby left us. A numpty took over, so it was time to jump ship.
Who was the numpty?
I won't even mention his name because I'm enjoying this.
You didn't have a confrontation in the showers with him, buddy.
Correct. So going back to, you know, if you imagine, now I really mean this, the pre-season, and this is another situation where top managers have to juggle. and I'm not sure they're big enough, Fergie would have said no, no, no to the board. I'm not dragging my team all the way around the world, especially too close to the start of the season.
Bangle did say a bit of that.
Well, he's got to because it's nonsense.
He did curtail the massive plan that he inherited.
And I told next year, Roberto told me, Martinez told me it's going to be worse next year.
Right.
But, you know, you think what Jose's got to juggle, Wenger's got to juggle, Pellegrini, all these people, you know, getting prepared for the Premier, but securing finance coming in for the board, for the supporters, getting the brand name around. Suddenly you're into, you know, the League Cup's now underway, you've got the start of the Premier, you've got Champions League qualifiers.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's every few days you get another game.
Yeah. I tell you, it's all
And we do more than that, than the other teams. And Jose Mourinho had a point when he tried to help Chelsea and the other Champions League teams by bringing the Premier game forward to a Friday.
Right.
And he was shouted down, the Premier League, we can't help you.
What? Sorry, are you saying that was Jose's original idea?
He wanted to have, before big Champions League games, the Premier game on a Friday, Friday night.
Okay.
And we wouldn't bend and help them.
Well, I don't know why, because the fans like that. You just said you like the idea.
Absolutely. The fans would love it, but the police and the Premier League said no.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Isn't the issue all about times in between games, Al, rather than the times at which they're played? Because a lot of non-footballing people will always say, oh, come on, they're young men. They can play two or three games in 8 days.
No. You can, but can you play at your highest? Can you play 100% three games running? You can't. But Rafa Benitez says Terry couldn't do it, but Jose proved him wrong.
So
he said he couldn't play
that
twice.
That takes me on to the point about West Ham, right, their fantastic result against Arsenal. And do you know what? If I was a West Ham fan, I'd be jumping up and down now on the roof of St Paul's Cathedral saying, thank God we went out the Europa League. Because that is a rubbish competition. It's rubbish because I've just asked you about the time between games that players have to recuperate, their muscles have to recover, their knocks and their muscles and all that kind of stuff. If you're coming back from Romania late on a Thursday night after a game, you get into Liverpool at midday Friday, you don't train that day, and they've put your game back till Sunday, you've got very little time to recover. The Europa League is a load of utter rubbish. I don't know why any club ever goes into it.
Yeah, but that's why, you know, it should be a knockout stage.
Yeah.
But again, it's revenue.
No, Alex,
it's
not.
All about
there
revenue.
Is no revenue in the Europa League.
It is. It's about revenue.
Do you know what you
get?
It's about
attendances. It's about revenue. West Ham were full.
No.
They were full.
Okay, fine. But that's peanuts in football today. The TV revenues for the Europa League, I know this because, you know, I do have contacts in the broadcasting world, Al. You know that. And I'm telling you that the fees you get for the Europa League live broadcasting are minimal compared to the Champions League. Minimal. They hardly cover your travel costs to go and play away.
No, I'm not going to disagree. Europa League
it's
now
a waste of time.
Has been devalued. Although, won it again last year? Seville?
Yeah.
They are now in the Champions League.
Well, they are.
So it's not a waste of time
they
for
are.
Them.
And, of course,
and incidentally, they retained it.
Yeah.
They've not done it Champions League, but UEFA League, they retained it.
They did. And, of course, they get the glamour game, don't they, against Barth.
Which was a hell of a game, 5-4.
Absolutely. That's absolutely right, yeah. But I still... As an Evertonian, as I am...
Just tell me, as an England man...
I did not want
England
our
man,
team to get into the Europa League.
Greg Dyke, is he going to change the lack of English-born players in the opening game of the Premiership? Is he going to change that? Because of foreign players? Foreign players want to come here for the money, for the excitement of the Premier League. They want to join our top teams to play in the Champions League.
Yeah.
England, I'm afraid, forget it. It's not going to change.
Do you know what is so marvellous about one of the great aspects of West Ham's victory over Arsenal? It took a Croatian manager, Slaven Bilic, to introduce a 16-year-old English boy, young, was it Reece Oxford? Yeah, absolutely.
Who was at Tottenham, incidentally, as a kid?
He was
a forward and they released him.
Absolutely right. He was born and brought up in Edmonton, you know, which is almost Tottenham High Street, isn't it? You know, and there. And I think for Bilic to show that faith in a young boy like that may just inspire other managers in the Premier League to say, well, hang on, I haven't got 27 million to pay, but I've got a kid in the under-18s or the under-19s. Why don't I give him a chance?
Harry Kane could have gone from Tottenham.
Yes.
He was blooded.
Yes, I totally agree.
So it's interesting. Maybe, just maybe, they are out there.
It would be great.
Porky, gonna have a lie down.
Oh, Oh, do I look like I need one?
Brought to you by Audioboom.